Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight's horrifying tale is about a couple of college buddies go venturing off back to one of their old towns, where there have been murders, suicides, and disappearances, including one of their personal family members. Now, some say it's a serial killer, and some say it is something else. Regardless, I got my demon blade handy, and I'm ready to call Sam and Dean if necessary. Now let's get spooky. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. As we entered the abandoned house, a sense of being watched came over me. I looked behind me, seeing only the front hallway extending towards the door. The wallpaper, an ugly blue color, had peeled away in many spots, revealing black mold and rotting planks. Then we heard it, a growl, deep and low, coming from the kitchen. "Something's in here with us," Chuck said to me. I nodded at him, pulling my camera out of my back pocket and starting the recording. As I started down the hallway, it seemed to lengthen until it stretched as long as a football field. Looking behind me at the cracked door we had come in through, I found it had been turned into solid brick, fused with the rest of the wall. There was no way back out. My adrenaline was pumping through my body, and I saw Chuck looking nervous as well, his pupils huge, his hands trembling, his face pale. As we walked down the endless hallway, I heard the growling turn to laughter, a sickly, diseased sound that seemed to spit mucus in every breath. The ceiling had receded far above us now, disappearing into a blanket of shadows. From the kitchen, something appeared, dragging one shattered leg behind it, splintered of bones sticking out through its decaying skin. Chuck shone the flashlight on its face, and I kept the camera pointed ahead, nearly dropping it when I saw the walking corpse was now my own mother. A sick woman who had drowned my 5-year-old sister in the bathtub before driving her car into a tree at 90 miles an hour, killing herself. She had been dead for over 20 years.
"Billy,"
she said to me, her face half gone. Maggots and flies showed in her blackened gums as she smiled wide, her milky, film-covered eyes staring in my direction.
"My boy, my sweet boy."
Specks of dark, clotted blood flew out of her mouth as she spoke. Dragging her shattered leg behind her, she left pieces of her rotten flesh on the hallway floor, snarls of broken wood and nails catching her skin and ripping it apart. The smell of a rotting body reached over to us, so thick that I could taste it. Gagging, I tried to cover my mouth and nose with my left elbow, keeping the camera trained on the thing that had killed so many.
"Don't be like that, Billy," she said to me. "Come give your mother a kiss."
I've heard of houses being haunted, or abandoned mental asylums, or even complexes of factories. But what about an entire street? The place where I grew up, named Jericho Hill Road, was always eerie. The amount of car accidents and natural deaths on the road was astounding. But even worse, there were also constant disappearances, murders, and suicides. The state park along much of Jericho Hill Road, called Gilead Forest, had gained a reputation, and not one the town would appreciate. More bodies had been dragged out of there in the last few years than anyone in power cared to admit. I told all of this to Chuck, my roommate in college, and he saw an instant gold mine. "We have to go there and get this stuff on camera," he said to me last night as we sat eating in a local diner. "Can you imagine how many followers we would gain if we recorded it? If we caught actual evidence of something haunting the street and killing people?" He had a successful blog and a YouTube channel, mostly involved with exploring abandoned places, ghost towns, old factories, underground tunnels, disused subway platforms, little-known caves, or any other spots within a few-hour drive he could find. "I don't give a crap about followers or views," I said. "This isn't some game. We had 10 people go missing in the span of just 2 years. 3 of them were kids. Some of the missing were taken from their beds in the dead of night, without a single sign of forced entry. The police chief covered it all up to keep the media from descending on our town like a horde of locusts. But everyone in the area knew that people were going missing. Some chalked it up to a serial killer or a human trafficking ring. But none of the cases were ever solved, and most of the bodies were never recovered." Chuck looked more excited than ever, his eyes shining. "I need you to go with me, bud," he said. "You're the only one I trust who knows the town inside and out. I'll pay you $200. It probably won't take more than a few hours. And don't you want to know what really happened there? What if we could find evidence or something, bring some closure to families?" I shrugged. "We won't be bringing closure to anyone if we're dead," I said, sipping my coffee. The waitress had arrived with our food, bringing Reubens and fries and more coffee for our booth. We stopped talking until she had left. I smiled vacantly up at her, thanking her. Between bites of pastrami, Chuck leaned close to me. "What if we could clear your mom's name?" he asked quietly. "Maybe she didn't do what they accused her of. Or maybe whatever haunts that town possessed her or something. What if we could gain evidence?" I slammed my hand down on the table, causing a few people to look over at me, frowning. "Don't talk about my mother," I said. "She did it. She was guilty. She murdered my sister and then committed suicide. There was no clearing that." Chuck looked ashamed, putting his sandwich down and leaning close to me. "Look, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring it up, you know. I just mean, maybe that thing there drives people insane somehow, makes them do stuff they would never consider doing in a normal state of mind." "But we have to go and look. Who else cares enough to try to figure out what is happening in your hometown? The police sound like a joke, and the mayor and selectmen sound like they have covered up the deaths for decades. And it isn't like we could just call the FBI and tell them there's a demonic entity haunting Jericho Hill Road." I sighed. I knew he was right. I often wondered what had happened to the families of the missing children, whether the parents got torn apart by the losses, or whether they still had hope to ever see their kids again. "All right," I said, leaning back in my booth seat. "But only for a few hours. After that, come hell or high water, I'm leaving you there, and it's your turn to pay for dinner."
"Your sister's in here, Billy," the thing pretended to be my mother said, a swollen purple tongue flicking out of her mouth and running along the remnants of her lips, which looked like they had been mostly eaten away by insects or fallen off over time. It gave her a permanent grinning look, like a skull. As she spoke, nasty black phlegm and clotted blood dripped down her chin,
The smell of rotting bodies grew stronger. She continued to taunt me.
As the holidays approach, it's time to return to the classics. Flaky pie crusts, perfectly browned butter, and cookies with just the right texture. And one ingredient you cannot compromise on is Kerrygold butter. Kerrygold butter is crafted with milk from grass-fed cows that graze on lush green pastures across family farms in Ireland. The result? A rich, creamy butter with a high butterfat content that elevates every recipe. Whether you're making signature shortbread or browning butter for a nutty depth in your pecan pie, Kerrygold makes all the difference. The flavor is unmatched, and the texture it brings to baked goods is simply divine. So this holiday season, if you're baking for loved ones or just for yourself, reach for Kerrygold. It's the butter of choice, and your pies, your cookies, and your cakes will thank you.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
She is dead, but nothing around here stays dead for long. Wouldn't you like to see your baby sister one last time? Give her a little kiss on her forehead and draw up a nice deep bath afterwards? It's been a long time since she's seen you. She screams for you still, even in death. She asks where she is constantly, why she is stuck in blackness. She wants you to join her.
Shut up! I screamed, my heart thudding so fast that I could no longer discern the individual beats that pulsed in my temple. A migraine began to start in my head. Tears began to form in my eyes. Blinding fast, I pushed them back. This was no time to cry over who was dead. Whatever this thing was, it was dangerous, and it seemed to like to play with its food before it ate it. Chuck looked back at me. I still held the camera up. He nodded at me. Then, with a speed his large body didn't seem capable of, he pulled out the holstered pistol from his chest. Before I could say anything, he had aimed the gun at the demon, shooting the entire magazine in rapid succession, causing my ears to ring. The thing in the kitchen had been too fast for him, however. In a blur, it had dropped to the floor, most of the bullets passing harmlessly overhead. One, however, ended up winging its side, blowing off a small, dagger-like leg that had shot out of its ripped clothes. Its face melted off in waxy, decaying rivulets. Its flesh fell off, shedding like the skin of a snake, squirming maggots falling off of it and laying in the dirty, dusty floor as it transformed. I saw the white bone of the skull underneath, as chunks of maggot-infested meat fell to the floor in heaps. Its clothes, a yellow sundress my mother often wore and she had been wearing when she died, ripped apart and something new emerged from that dead body. I slipped the camera into my back pocket, and I saw Chuck reholster the now useless pistol. He had no extra magazines on him. Part of me wondered if he had ever thought he would need the gun at all. That perhaps he had thought we were just going to simply hunt, searching for non-existent creatures to make a spooky video for his followers. He now knew better, but it might be too late for either of us. The transformed monster looked in many ways like a writhing centipede, if centipedes were 10 feet long and a foot wide. Its countless sharp legs clicked on the wooden floor of the abandoned house. Its skin reflected the dull light as waves of motion rippled through its chitinous, obsidian-like covering. But the eyes were the most disturbing part. They still held the filmy, milky eyes of my dead mother, the muted blue iris still showing through under the cataracts and decay. Chuck began to back up rapidly, walking right into me and slamming his back against my shaking hands, causing me to drop the camera.
"Oh, God!"
Chuck said, looking like he was about to keel over.
"I can't do spiders and centipedes. I hate centipedes!"
"Forget about that," I shrieked at him, snatching the camera back up from the floor. The massive centipede gained on us rapidly.
"You better give me a flashlight."
Without a word, he handed me the heavy metal flashlight. The centipede was now only 10 feet away, skittering at a pace that would outrun even the fastest person. It hissed at us, pushing itself up onto its back legs, towering over us. The milky eyes shone with excitement and hunger. Then, without warning, it leaped forward, going after Chuck's throat. Its pincers clacked together over and over as it flew, as if it already tasted the warm blood of its victim. Without thinking, I raised the flashlight by the front, bringing it down onto the centipede's right eye with all my force. The blow forced it down lower, throwing off its trajectory, and it landed at Chuck's feet instead of grabbing him by the head or neck. But the blow didn't stop its clacking mandibles, seemingly excited by the prospect of fresh meat so near to it. Chuck put his hands in front of him in terror as the centipede shook its head like a dog, rapidly recovering its sense of balance, even as its right eye swelled shut. Blue blood dripping onto the floor. It opens its piercers again, and with the flash grabbed Chuck's left hand. He screamed so loud that my ears rang. I brought the flashlight down onto its head once more, aiming for the same eye I had already injured. With a start, it pulled back, taking two of Chuck's fingers with it and swallowing them in a moment. In my peripheral vision, I saw him stare with abject horror at his mutilated hand, a stream of blood running down his arm. But I had no time to focus on that. Time seemed to slow down when its one good eye stared at me, no longer shining with excitement, but furious and insane. It leapt at my throat, and I only saved myself through pure luck and instinct. Still holding the flashlight by the front, I took the solid metal and jammed it in front of me. It smashed into the pincers, and they reflectively closed around the base of it, ripping it out of my hands as it bounced into my upper torso, sending me sprawling. Within seconds, I was back on my feet, grabbing Chuck by his arm and heaving him forward. We began to sprint away, Chuck on my heels, so close I could hear his ragged, terrified breathing. The creature appeared to be slowing, its missing front leg oozing greenish-gray blood that turned blue as it streamed out of its injured body, its eye bleeding faster as half of its face swelled up. Chuck and I ran, and the centipede spun. Yet with all of its injuries, we were able to escape to the kitchen, though I could hear the tittering sound of its tiny clawed feet rhythmically tapping against the floor close behind us. In the kitchen, I saw a horrifying sight. Some of the missing people were here, all having died in horrifying ways. One man appeared to have been burned alive, while the body of a child was nailed to the wall in a mocking parody of Christ's crucifixion. A woman hanging from the rafters had her eyes cut out, the black sockets seeming to stare directly at me. I saw a window that had been smashed to pieces years ago on the far side of the kitchen. The glass was nearly all gone, except for some jagged pieces on the bottom. Panicked and hearing the creature now only feet behind me, I jumped through it. The jump was not perfect. I ended up slicing up my belly and chest on the sharp glass on the bottom as I flew through it. The cuts were deep and incredibly painful, but with all the adrenaline coursing through my body, I was able to ignore them for now. Turning around on the back porch, I saw Chuck being pulled back into the house. the pincers now gripping him by the back of his neck. The poison from the centipede had swollen his hand to twice its normal size, and now more dripped into his blood from the shallow slices the centipede inflicted near his spine. With terrified, pleading eyes, his face beginning to swell, he was dragged towards the endless hallway. I knew I could not go in there and save him. I had no weapon now, and not a pistol, and not even the flashlight. But I did have a camera. Taking it out, I recorded Chuck receding into the blackness, being dragged away by the eldritch abomination that had killed so many. He screamed and cried.
No, no, not like this! Not like this!
He repeated in a hopeless, insane voice. I wanted to help him, but my survival instinct screamed at me to stay out of that house, to leave that cursed road and never come back. And yet, I knew Chuck cared about his followers and views, that he wanted to be famous. So I made him famous, recording as much of his death as I could, posting it on his YouTube channel later that night. In a way, his wish had come true. He had proven the existence of something horrible, and now the entire world would get to see it.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.